it's really important to think about it. It's not advertising. You're not pushing a product. You're helping your consumers to get smarter and then building that long-term relationship. Because like I said, sometimes the sales journey is multiple years. It's a constant give and take and a conversation that that's had on all these content channels and website channels and emails and even podcasts like this.
Welcome to the podcast, B2B Insights. Our take on a podcast series where we dive in and discuss all things B2B marketing. B2B Insights is brought to you by Avery Foster, one of the most respected brand and digital marketing agencies in the Southwest. At Avery Foster, we build authentic relationships so brands can grow and prosper. Learn more at averyfoster.com.
Welcome to B2B Insights. I'm one of your co-hosts, Matthew Petrikin, new business development at Avery Foster.
And I'm Dave Foster, CEO and co-founder of Avery Foster. And we're joined today by Kenny Osborne, our creative director. Welcome, Kenny.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, we're glad you're here.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, with all our guests that come onto the podcast, we like to start off with just a couple questions. One, what advice would you give to someone looking to enter the writing, copyright, brand strategy space, you know, that creative role and where you fit into Avery Foster? What advice would you give to someone trying to get into the space?
Well, especially in the B2B field, you have to be curious and inquisitive. As you all know, Avery Foster has a diverse range of clients. So every client is different. Every challenge is different. You have to be willing to listen and learn and jump in the deep end, sometimes without floaties,
yeah,
and just figure it out really fast and do some really quick research and learn about your clients and their prospects. And it's always and always a journey.
Absolutely. And my second question, favorite question of all time, if you could have dinner with any historical figure or famous figure, who would it be and why?
Oh, gosh.
Put you on the spot there.
Yeah, we've gotten some crazy answers, so.
I'm trying to think. It needs to be someone funny. I would say Robin Williams, just because he would keep me entertained forever.
Yeah, that's right? A good one. Yeah.
I might kick him out of the party maybe after an hour, but that hour would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll kick this off, you know, dive into content strategy and content marketing. And
yeah, Dave. So Kenny, we wanted to kind of get your take and your expertise on business-to-business content marketing. And we know that that is critically important to our clients. It's critically important to the success of growing their business for them. And there's a myriad of reasons for that. And so what we wanted to do is just ask you a few questions and you can jump in there and kind of give us some guidance on kind of what that looks like. So, you know, to start out, why is B2B content marketing just so important?
Yeah, I always tell people when we're talking about content marketing, it always comes back to this one stat that I heard a couple of years ago, and it's 95% of B2B buyers engage in some form of content before they buy, right? So they're going to look at a case study, they're going to look at a product comparison, they're going to look at something, or read a blog. And that's like 95% is a staggering number. So if you are not engaged in content marketing as a B2B marketer, then you're losing business. And why is content marketing so prevalent and so important? Well, there's a couple of reasons, right? It's the price point is very high. So we're not talking about impulse purchase. You're not talking about buying something at the grocery store. You're talking about something with a 5, 6, 7 figure price tag. So there's a lot of research that needs to go into that. And the sales journey is long. So a typical sales journey in B2B is anywhere from a couple of months to sometimes a couple of years. We have some clients that have, you know, buying a 6 or 7 figure product. That's a long sales cycle. And then the buying committee is very large. The typical buying committee for a B2B purchase is about 7 different people. So that's a huge committee. So every one of those people in the committee have different needs and different interests. So today's B2B buyers are conducting research. They're reading blogs. They're looking at 5 or 6 different options before they're making a decision. If you don't have content out there in the World Wide Web on your site, you're losing business. So content marketing is vastly important, especially in the B2B field.
So when you think about defining it, though, a lot of people have misperceptions about content marketing and how it's different in advertising. You know, when you define it from a consumer's perspective, it's a little bit different. When you define it from B2B, it's a little bit different. And a lot of customers sometimes need clarity around how to define it.
I always like to explain content marketing is storytelling for B2B brands. So it's about creating that content that is valuable and that you can share, that can attract people, engage people on a human level. So instead of pushing ads, you're really providing useful and relevant information that helps people solve problems, learn something, and just get smart about a topic. It's less about selling a product and helping people get smart. I always like to think of content marketing as that super smart friend that always has the best tips, knows where to go. If you're, hey, I'm going visiting this town. Where should I go? What should I do? That's what content marketing is from the B2B buyer side. So it's really important to think about it. It's not advertising. You're not pushing a product. You're helping your consumers to get smarter and then building that long-term relationship. Because like I said, sometimes the sales journey is multiple years. It's a constant give and take and a conversation that's had on all these content channels and website channels and emails and even podcasts like this.
Yeah, that's interesting. So can you talk to us about the content development process as a whole?
Yeah, at Avery Foster, we've been doing this for, 30 years, and especially in the content marketing that's gained in popularity over the last really 10, 15 years. So there's a structure, there's a process. I always like to think of it having a roadmap, but also adding a layer of creativity on top of that. So we do have very defined steps. It starts with understanding your audience and knowing who that B2B audience is, because it's different depending on what sector you're in. You have to understand what the buyer persona is, what their needs are, understanding what that journey is, what the steps it takes to get from awareness to actually buying something. And then once you have all those foundational elements, it's really about brainstorming those content ideas that are based on the needs of the buyer, not on what you want to say and what you want to sell, but what they need to do, what they need to learn to become a better consumer. And then the next steps are really about developing the content, promoting the content online. And then we always, at Avery Foster, always need to optimize that. So looking back, you know, hopefully a year in and go, okay, what worked last year? Like, hey, if we're getting a lot of traction on a certain guide or a certain topic, let's do more of that this year and beyond.
Yeah, and it's funny. You mentioned to me that you have a trick for audience research. Can you tell us about that?
I think learning about the customers is really, really this most important step, right? So you need to help define your ICP, your ideal customer profile. So you need to understand their industry, their company size, their revenue, locations, what their job titles are. You can do a lot of different things to do that. You can just do company research. There's a lot of tools out there like ZoomInfo, or even ChatGPT is a great way to get smart. But I call this my easy hack, is I just ask a client, okay, tell me who are the last 20 prospects that bought your product. Just give me their names and I'll go on LinkedIn and I'll look at their titles, and you look at the company size. It's kind of reverse engineering a ICP by just looking at, you know, who's bought your product in the last year. That's a really easy thing to do. LinkedIn's a great tool for salespeople, but it's also a great tool for doing any sort of like buyer persona research. It's an easy way to really get really smart, really fast about who your ICP is.
Yeah. So Kenny, drilling into those, you know, ICPs, I mean, the business buyer is becoming more or acting more and more like a consumer. And so the personas of those individuals, we need to be intimately aware of. How do they buy? What are their concerns? Kind of help us understand the importance of those personas in this whole game of content development.
Yeah, I think buyer personas are really important. You really need to get into the mindset of that buyer, right? It's a fictional representation of who your buyer is. So we often create, you know, we might name them, we might find a photo of them. Here's their age, here's their title, here's their behavioral patterns, here's maybe where they live, here's their favorite brands, right? There might be some really cool things that we can do to kind of build those personas, bring those to life. Buyer personas are not new. We do them all the time. It's a really important step. We've gotten so fast and efficient about it, creating them. It's really important to build those out. So buyer personas are not necessarily new. We've just gotten so much better and more efficient on how to build them. We have tools like I said, ZoomInfo or Salesforce, even HubSpot, that can help you build these buyer personas. But it's really important to get those personas established before you do anything else. It's really step one. It's the foundation. Once you start building a content marketing strategy, you have to start with the first building block is those buyer personas.
Got it. So once those are established, you know, we talk about our buyer's journey of our customer's customer. So obviously, like you mentioned, I mean, buyer personas are critical to getting it right in terms of what type of content to write. But our buyer personas go through a customer journey or a buying journey. Kind of help us understand how to map that once you have that established to that buyer journey.
Like I mentioned, it's really important that first step is building that persona. And the next step is figuring out, okay, here's the person you're targeting, the committee you're targeting. Now let's figure out the steps it takes to get from awareness to consideration to decision. So this is where we really collaborate with our clients. Like oftentimes you might even get the salespeople on the phone. Okay, because the salespeople are on the front lines. They understand the time it takes to get people, move people through the journey. So every client is different, but it's really important to outline the steps it takes. Like I mentioned, there's always these three steps. There's awareness, consideration, and decision. And each one of those steps typically has a different type of content. So in the awareness stage, it's very high level. You're helping the buyer get smarter. So that might include things like trend reports or white papers or explainer videos that really kind of the top of that funnel, that really kind of the awareness phase. Each step of the buyer's journey is different, right? So, and each step has a different type of content need. So in, for example, in awareness, this is when people are really learning about your product or trying to get smart about just the industry in general. So the topics or the content types in the awareness stage might include those really high level trend reports or white papers or explainer videos. When it gets farther down the funnel, when we're talking about consideration, those might include how-to guides or infographics or those product demos. And then when folks are really getting to that decision phase, when they, you know, they're really comparing your solution against maybe one or two others, that's where you have those case studies. Those, okay, showing them how your product has worked for similar companies and testimonial videos and those side-by-side comparisons. So understanding the buyer's journey and the buyer persona actually helps us map out what those content types need to be throughout that journey.
Okay, Kenny. So you've talked to us about audience research. You've talked to us about ICP. You've talked to us about buyer personas. You've talked to us about the journey of that buyer. How do you then take all of that that you've learned and turn it into content? And the reason we ask this is because, right or wrong, a lot of times we're asked just, let's get some content out there. And it's not grounded in any kind of strategy, or it's not grounded, you know, specific needs of that target audience. So how do you take all that and then, you know, translate that into to the content itself?
Yeah. This is, again, a very collaborative process with the client. Again, maybe bringing in the sales team, picking their brains, doing some interviews. But typically, I like to organize things into what we call content pillars. So what are the three biggest challenges on this buyer's plate? What are the things that they need to learn, to know, to understand, to unpack, to become a better consumer? And then from there, we can actually organize content types or under those pillars. So really, I think it really starts with those pillars, those big themes. I'm a big fan of doing things in threes. So let's find three things that the prospect needs to learn about. And then let's organize all the types of topics that we can put under those themes. And once we have those themes, then we can start assigning, okay, this would be a great infographic, or this would be a great blog, or this would be a great testimonial video or explainer video. So it really comes down to organizing topics, finding that structure, but then adding a layer of creativity on top of that.
So Kenny, you talk about these content pillars, and obviously a lot of resources and research goes into the development of content. And of course, you know, goodness, AI is everywhere. Like,
yeah,
I mean, it's like, oh, so reused. I think we're kind of tired of it at this point, but at the same time, we use it. So help us understand, you know, how we use it and where we shouldn't use it. And
yeah, Gen AI and Chat GPT in general is a great tool just to get a lot of content ideas really fast. No, so it's all about prompting, right? Today, the best AI engineers are the ones that understand how to use Chat GPT to its fullest potential. And it comes down with those prompts. So, you know, oftentimes I'll put, hey, I am a insert client. I'm a health tech pioneer, and I'm looking to target hospital administrators or procurement folks at mid-sized hospitals. Give me some topics that they are interested in. And give me 30. And oftentimes they'll spit out 30 topics, and some of them will be relevant, some of them won't. So it's really about, it's a volume game. So it'll give you a lot of these topics. We need to understand, are these topics relevant? We need to pressure test them. So oftentimes we'll bring a bunch of ideas to our clients and go, hey, did these seem right? And there's always an adjustment phase. But what ChatGPT does, and just AI in general, it helps you build a volume of topic ideas at a rapid pace. And then we, as content strategists and writers and digital strategists, can then mold those into something that feels like it's the voice of our client or our client's brand. So ChatGPT is a great tool to have. It doesn't do your job for you, but it is a tool to help you get smart really fast.
Can you dive a little deeper? I know some listeners may know, but some may not. Can you talk about the development of content and, you know, who does what? Where does each puzzle piece fit into this scenario?
Yeah, so I'm a writer by trade. I'm a creative director at Avery Foster, but my heritage is in writing. So, and that's typically where content starts, is with a writer. So a writer has to decide what those topics are, working with a digital strategist, working with a brand manager, working with the client. And typically 90% of the time we start with blogs, right? So blogs are the easiest thing to build. Typically we want to get a content strategy in market. Blogs are the kind of the easiest thing to write and build and put on a website. So that's typically where we start. And we might write a guide or a script for an explainer video, right? It really typically starts with writing, collaborating with the client, understanding what needs to go in all of these pieces of content. So it's really important to have a team of writers that understands the subject matter, understands the audience, understands their pain points. That's why writers are kind of the core part of the content marketing strategy. And oftentimes, Avery Foster works with our clients in a lot of different ways. Sometimes we do all the writing, right? We have a team of writers here that can do all the things. We can write the blogs, we can write scripts, we can work with, you know, production teams to build videos. Some of our clients have in-house writers, or we might ghostwrite something, or we might interview someone and write a blog on their behalf. So it really is a mix of both. That's typically how it starts. So that's from a writing perspective. But looking beyond writing, there's an extended team that helps bring this all together, right? It's not just me. I'm really good at writing, but I could not design a website to save my life, right? So we bring in web developers to create blog posts and blog pages. We bring in designers to create infographics. We bring in videographers and web developers to bring content to life and bring these videos to life. So it really is, it starts with writing and starts with the idea and the topics, but then we have to extend that team and really use that team to build all this content. Obviously, in today's digital world, content is going to live online. The vast majority of the content that we build for our clients lives on their website. So it's really important to have the web strategy and the content strategy align, because if we build all this content and we have nowhere to house it, it becomes really challenging. So one of our other writers here, John Cannon, wrote a really good blog on this topic. It's called A Web Tune-Up, and it provides a checklist of, hey, before you even start a content strategy, make sure your website is ready. Make sure there's places on the website that you can organize it. And if you're going to create videos and blogs and guides, you need to make sure that there's an easy way to find those on your site. It's also about page load speeds and SEO recommendations and internal linking strategies. So there's a whole backend part. So I think, you know, if anyone's interested in learning more, definitely go to Avery Foster's blog page and you can learn more about how to bring that website, that web strategy and your content strategy to life.
Yeah, and I think people are slowly starting to realize out there that it's a lot of parts and pieces to make up content marketing and development. And so once you have all of the content developed, what comes next?
This is the part that's probably most akin to traditional advertising, right? So say we have a video or a guide or a blog post or an infographic. The goal is to promote it, right? So this is where we actually create advertising that might live on your website, right? Or your social channels. Like, hey, I have this great blog post. I need to promote it, typically on LinkedIn or Facebook or even on Instagram nowadays. Everyone's promoting everything everywhere. That's really the cheapest and most efficient place to promote your content is on your own owned channels. So organic promotion. But looking beyond that, if you're building, for a lot of our clients, we're building massive content strategies, and we're investing a lot of time and money into these pieces of content. So we need to go out and actually find people out in the world that are searching for that content. The easiest, most basic place is just starting with search. So that's where we partner with our digital strategist and develop a search strategy that aligns with our content. And then we start laying in other channels. So we'll typically, in the B2B world, you know, LinkedIn is kind of the gold standard. Most business people are going to be on LinkedIn. So promoting, putting ads on LinkedIn, they can be static ads or carousel ads or animated ads. So this is probably my favorite part, is because it's really back to the heritage of building campaigns. But there's also, like I said, Facebook and Instagram. Yes, we're targeting businesses, but we're also targeting people. Every person is on Instagram or TikTok or Facebook. So putting ads that get eyeballs back into your content on all of those social media platforms is really important. If you're doing any sort of video content, surprisingly, YouTube is the second biggest search engine after Google. So if you have any sort of, it's a pretty surprising statistic.
That is.
So if you're doing any sort of video content, it really needs to live on YouTube. There's also some other channels. There's content syndication where you can actually pay to promote your blogs on, you know, CNN.com or ESPN.com. So you can promote content in a lot of different places where your customers might be. There's partnerships with trade publications. There's digital display ads. So there's just a lot of different places. Typically digitally, every once in a while we might promote content in a print form, but it's pretty rare. Nowadays it's mostly digital. So there are a lot of different places that we can promote content. Our digital strategist, Caitlin, does a really good job of understanding the audiences, knowing the channels out there. And she wrote a really good blog. It's called the 8 Essential B2B Digital Channels on our site that I think is really important for any B2B marketer to look at. So she's really smart about finding, okay, let's build content. Let's figure out how to get this content in front of the eyeballs that we need to get in front of. And lastly, I think what we do really well at Avery Foster is really optimize. Our plan is to do content marketing in these 90-day sprints. So we'll put content out there for 90 days. Every 30 days, we look at it and figure out, okay, which ads are working the best, what content is really driving the most traffic. And we do a really good job of kind of shifting the focus and pivoting and calibrating our strategy as needed. Like with any campaign, there's always optimization.
Which I appreciate, because we do it for ourselves on our end, and there's always a need for a pivot or change, and we always appreciate it on the sales side.
So, Kenny, any final thoughts? You know, it can be a complex structure to put all this together, but at the same time, you know, we've got a methodology here at Avery Foster that carries us through this pretty much the same way every time. Every client's different. Every client has a different persona and ICP and marketplace and, you know, industry sector and those kind of things. But all in all, it's, you know, pretty much followed the same way. Any thoughts? Final thoughts?
Yeah, it's interesting because there's agency life, whether you're working at a B2B agency or a traditional agency or any sort of agency, I always like to think of it as you need to have a structure and you need to have creativity. So at Avery Foster, we have a very defined process about how we do everything, but then we have to add a layer of creativity that always is changing. We always have to look at trends. We always need to look at what's working and what's not working. When it comes to content marketing, there's really four things that I like to think about. We need to remember it's less about selling and more about educating. There's a quote from a content marketing expert, and it says, content marketing is like a first date. If you only talk about yourself, you'll never have a second one. So you have to remember that, right? It's a different world. You can't just go out there and shout and scream about how great your product is. You really need to have a one-on-one conversation, because oftentimes these relationships have to be nurtured over months to sometimes years. Another kind of key principle is thinking of content marketing as it's a commitment. It's not a campaign, right? Yes, campaigns are part of it. We do, like I said, we do 90-day campaigns all the time, but it's a commitment. You can't stop doing it. You can repurpose content and you can rethink content, but the world of B2B is always changing. So you always need to make sure you're thinking a couple steps ahead. And then always staying ahead on digital. In today's B2B world, content marketing is the vast majority is going to happen on digital channels. So as we all know, digital has changed a lot. No, I had no idea what chat BT was a year ago, and now I use it daily in my work. So digital, staying on top of digital trends is vitally important. And at the end of the day, it's all about telling stories in your own unique voice, because every brand needs to establish their voice first, and then you need to tell those stories through your content in that voice. So it's really important to understand your voice and make sure that the people on your content team understand that voice too, and tell stories in a way that really represents you and your brand.
Awesome. Well, Kenny, we really appreciate it. You bring a unique perspective to the content, and not only the content marketing world, but the agency life as itself. So we really appreciate you spending the time and talking through this.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kenny.
Thank you for having me.
This has been B2B Insights. Find all our news and sign up to receive our e-newsletter at averyfoster.com/contact. B2B Insights is provided by Avery Foster. Copyright 2024, Avery Foster, Inc. All rights reserved. Digital redistribution to the public is permitted only with express written permission from Avery Foster, Inc. Visit averyfoster.com for more information.